additional cost.
Trying to keep it in the middle of the road. Weeks, I got a call late last night, some company. Fox and Weeks had a fire. It set off the sprinklers.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, my aunt was a big jokester anyway, so I think it was the last parade.
Whenever you holler.
I'd like to call this meeting to order. And we have, I believe we have no notice, proclamations or acknowledgements. I'd like to request a motion for the approval of April 26, 2016 minutes.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Please go on the board and vote.
Is that correct for the second?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion passes. I believe we have nothing on the consent agenda. Is that correct, Marcus?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
And we have no old business, I presume. So let's move on to regular business. First item of business is 2117 Ridgewood Avenue, front yard setback variance. Marcus, could you please proceed?
Thank you. The item before you at this time is a request for 2117 Ridgewood Avenue. The petitioner is requesting a 12.5-foot front yard setback variance from the 45-foot front yard setback requirement for the construction of a new single-family residence. This is a tax map, and actually this is two parcels of land currently that would have to be recombined if this petition were approved in order to establish the structure on this property. Ridgewood Avenue is here, intersects with Norwood Avenue in the Sandfly area. If you're familiar with this area, Ridgewood Avenue, at least the paved portion, ends right along here. There's a cell phone tower and a former fire station along Ridgewood Avenue. There's actually only one residence that fronts onto Ridgewood Avenue, which is a single family house at this location. Petitioner's intent is to combine the two lots, as you see here, in order to construct a residence on this property. Ridgewood Avenue does require a 45-foot front yard setback as measured from the center of the right-of-way. As you can see, it continues through here, but it is unfinished in the location that abuts the subject property, at least. There is a bit of an irregular shape to these lots in terms of the width and depth, and their how they front onto Ridgewood. The adjacent property, as I mentioned, which is the only other residence that accesses from Ridgewood, does appear to meet the front yard setback. It is slightly deeper at about 150 feet than the proposed two lots when recombined. Based on these factors, staff is recommending approval of the front yard setback variance request for these properties.
Any questions, staff? None? Hearing none, is the petitioner here?
Yes.
Would you please, Quentin says, will you swear to tell the truth?
I do. Good morning, staff. I'm Mark Redmond. I'm here to answer any questions you have about the variance.
Any questions?
What is in the lot next door to you, to the, I guess it would be the left or the lower?
Right here?
No, down, yeah.
I believe that's owned by the gentleman that owned the house in the front, but it's all joined together. What looks like a road going this way is not a road. It's not open at this point.
Unopened right away.
Yeah.
What are you going to build there?
A residence.
What's
single family home.
Any other questions? Anybody from the public wishing to oppose this application? Entertain a motion from the board.
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a second. Please go to the board to vote. Looks like the vote is unanimous. We approve. Hurry up, you're behind schedule.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Let's see, the next item for discussion, 152 Oakland Isle Road. I'll hear from staff.
The item for 152 Oakland Island Road is a request for a 3.5-foot side yard setback variance from the 10-foot side yard setback requirement proposed for a single-family residence at that property. This is a tax map of the subject property, and it'll become a little more clearer when we look at the aerial maps, because only a small portion of this lot is actually upland. As you can see, it abuts Richardson Creek, and it's infringed upon by marsh along this side as well. The petitioner's intent is to build a small single-family residence on the property. Currently, the property is undeveloped. There's an existing dock on the property, as well as a metal storage building. This is a site plan showing the lot, or portion of the lot. This is Oakland Island Road here. There's an existing gravel drive that leads down to the dock. And this is the location of the proposed residence. The existing metal building is in that location, which obviously will be removed if this property becomes developed. This is an aerial image of the property. As you can see, the upland portion is roughly in this area. The rest of the lot, which is highlighted in red, is marsh. I've highlighted the area in which the existing metal building is constructed, and the location of the proposed house is there. This is a view of the property as well. You can better get an idea of how much the marsh is encroached upon this property. The upland portion of the lot is regularly shaped, and as proposed, the site plan can meet all the marsh buffer standards and setback standards, other than the required setback, which really is the rear of this metal building, is the area in which it would be infringing on the setback, and I'll show you that a little bit better here. This red line approximates the encroachment onto the side yard setback of the adjacent property. As you can see, if you take a look at the site plan, there's some information here about the relocation of existing wells. Obviously, they would have to provide that service for this property to be developed, and there was some discussions between the petitioner's agent and the county, both the county engineer's office and the county health department, regarding the location of the well and regarding their ability to mitigate for the fill in the floodplain if this property is developed. Those processes, I believe, are still ongoing, and as I understand it, the health department has addressed the well situation satisfactorily with the petitioner. The issue of the fill will have to be dealt with if the petitioner wants to get a building permit. It's a little bit outside of our purview as far as this is concerned. In looking at the request for the side yard setback variance, staff finds that the property does meet the criteria in terms of the fact that it's impacted by wetlands and irregularly shaped, and the buildable area of the property is limited by those factors. So based on that, we're recommending approval with the understanding that those other issues will be dealt with the proper authorities.
Any other questions of staff? Hearing none, will the applicant wish to speak? Could you state your name and...
I'm Jay Maupin, Maupin Engineering, agent for the owner.
You swear to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And Marcus did a great job. I would note that that this septic permit has been authorized by the health department for the property, and the well relocations have already been accomplished. So all that work has already been done, and we do have to work out the fill mitigation work for the fill for the septic drain field and for the building slab, which is raising it up about 6 inches to get positive drainage away from the slab, which all meets the federal guidelines, but the new county requirements it does not meet. So we're working that through with the county at this point. But that's really not really germane to what this side yard setback line.
Sure.
What is the size of the structure you're building?
It's a one bedroom structure. It's 20. I don't have my glasses on. 22 feet wide and then 52 foot long.
It's about 1,000 feet or so.
Right. Yeah, and it's two-story over garage, you know, being in the floodplain that's up off here. Yeah. So it's a one-bedroom structure. And these are the Taylors here behind me. They actually live in Garden City and are, have owned this lot for quite some time, have weekends on it, and now looking to retire and move out to their weekend getaway.
Okay. Any other questions?
And no comments from any of the neighbors or the next door neighbors?
No, haven't.
Obviously, we've had to relocate the neighbor's well and various other things. He's very cooperative, and he and the Taylors are good friends.
Other questions? Okay. Anybody here to speak in opposition or approval of this? No? I guess it's open for board discussion. I do have one question of Marcus.
Yes, sir.
Could you give me just a real quick definition of what uplands means in this particular case? I thought uplands was kind of up in the mountains.
Well, in this scenario, what we're referring to is this lot, the legal boundaries of the lot extend out to the marsh in this area. The buildable portion, which I was referring to as upland, is only this area.
Okay.
The higher ground, essentially, of the lot.
How, is there a DNR definition of what uplands means, though? Or does it just mean higher ground?
Yeah, higher ground for our purposes. I don't believe DNR uses the term necessarily, but okay, for our purposes.
So what is the elevation of the building here?
I'm sorry?
What is the elevation of the location of the building site?
The existing lot really varies between elevation 6 and 7.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Well,
a little closer look, I just wanted to point this out, is that you can see that the intent of backing into the side yard setback was to avoid being within the marsh buffer, which is the blue line on this drawing.
Okay. Any other discussion? I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we approve. Setback.
Motion has been made and seconded. Please vote. Agenda is 547. What? Well, how do you pronounce it?
Omler
Loop. Marcus, will you please give us your report?
Southern.
Kowalski, the petitioner is requesting an 11-foot rear yard setback variance from the 25-foot rear yard requirement to facilitate the construction of a new covered screened-in porch. Subject property is located at 547 Armour Loop in the Indigo Point subdivision on Wilmington Island. The lot has a maximum width of approximately 72 feet and a maximum depth of approximately 105 feet and is a conforming lot of record in the R1 zoning classification. That the property is developed with a single family residence. As you'll be able to see in some of our images here, this is the subject lot, lot 20 here along Armour Loop. The property backs up to the rear yards of two adjacent properties. This is the last one. The petitioner did provide some additional exhibits to show the existing conditions as well as what is being proposed. This is a site plan that shows the existing house and an existing wood deck that is in the location of the proposed covered screen porch. The current deck is approximately 12 by 12. This is an exhibit showing the new proposed covered porch, which is roughly the same depth as the current open deck, but extends to the end of the house, as you can see here. So it's a little over 20 feet wide. There are some photos attached also that show the current situation on the rear of the property, the existing open deck. There's a couple of accessory structures in the rear yard of this property as well. It also shows the vegetation that separates the petitioner's property and the adjacent rear yards. This is a aerial image of the rear of the property that gives you a little better idea of the nature of the development. The proposed structure would basically extend from this portion, this location of the current deck over to the end of the house. You can see the privacy fence here that separates the properties. The intent of the rear yard setback is to provide uniform and adequate separation between structures and adjoining property lines. And but the zoning ordinance has specified the criteria, as you all are aware, for the granting of a variance. As this is a conforming lot and developed with a single family residence, staff does not find that the criteria have been met and are recommending denial of the requested variance.
Questions of staff.
Are there any other screen porches or enclosed areas that intrude into the setback in that?
We did not find any. There are a number of properties with open decks which do not are not encroachments as it relates to the rear yard setback. But we did not find any that were similar to what's being proposed by the petitioner in terms of an encroachment on the rear.
Other questions?
If the deck were expanded to the desired new footprint, but it was only covered to the extent of the existing footprint, would it then be in compliance?
I think what you're asking me is if the footprint of the deck was the footprint of what's being proposed, but covered?
No, if they expanded that to provide a new footprint out the side of the house, but they only cover the portion that currently exists.
Oh, I see. Then that would be an encroachment. Is that right, Mr. Siva? Yes.
Well, that they. the issue is not the deck, but the structure vertical from that becomes an encroachment. The deck itself may not be. But once you start going vertical, then it's an encroachment.
So even if they just covered the existing
thing? Exactly. Okay.
And they could run the deck all the way to the fence and still not be encroaching?
Well, within 5 feet, I believe that it's still.
Any
staff?
Explain why the verticality is a problem. Why is that an encroachment and not the footprint of the deck itself? Why does the fact that it's going vertical?
And Webb, an example, said, for example, in a detached garage, as a detached structure, is allowed to be 5 feet from a property line. But your building, in the case of, say, you're expanding your home, you are required to meet their setback. So in the case of the rear yard, that's 25 feet. So essentially what's being proposed is an addition to the main structure, not a detached structure. In particular, in the case of a two-story home, for example, you would not find, it wouldn't be desirable to have a full two-story home 5 feet from the property line. And that's what you'd be allowing if you allowed that type of setback.
So is there any circumstance that this lady could put a covered porch on the back of that house and it would be?
Existing porch or the existing deck, how much of a variance would they need?
Let's see.
Let's see, 14.
They would need roughly the same variance because the proposed covered porch is not substantially deeper than the existing wood deck. It is larger because it comes here. But the variance itself would be essentially the same, as you can see here. So at 14 feet deep from the house, that's the same as the existing deck.
Now, would the lot get a little wider?
On this side, yeah, that's right, yes, sir.
Any other questions of staff? Would the applicant like to make a presentation?
I would.
I assume you signed in to the register?
Yes.
And your name, please state your name.
My name is Natalie Aiken.
Do you swear to tell the truth?
Yes.
Please proceed.
Good morning. I would like to thank you for having me here. I'm here on behalf of Ron and Donald Walter. We believe that the 25-foot rear yard setback creates an unnecessary hardship in this condition. It prevents the property owners from being able to build a covered exterior porch, which would provide The owner's an exterior space protected from the elements. I would ask that you consider that the central and internal location of the lot in favor of the porch addition. Because the property backs up to two rear yards, the porch addition would be at the furthest point from the buildings of the two rear adjacent properties. In regard to the visual separation from surrounding properties, please also consider that there's a continuous and established head and tree canopies along the rear and west property lines. This vegetation blocks the sight lines between the properties and reduces the visual impacts of the porch addition. I would also like to note that there are properties surrounding where it appears that the actual building is within less of 25 feet of the back rear yard setback line, which tells me that setback variances have been granted in the neighborhood before and are not uncommon.
Any questions of the applicant?
Which properties?
The one directly to the west. I have a photo that's not on here. Yes. I didn't actually go in the backyard of this property, but if you walk along the fence line on that corner, from the back of the fence to the back of that porch, which is under the whole entire house, however, it appears to be about 15 feet from the back of the fence line. If rainwater is an issue with the runoff, I've talked to the client about diverting some of that through rain barrels and different, type applications to reduce. Also, when this initial study was done of the actual footprint, we were asking for the maximum amount. However, we would be willing to pull it back now and looking at massing studies, which I don't have present today, but it is obvious that we would definitely be inclined to go narrower if the issue is being too close.
I can't answer that. I don't know.
It looks like how much narrower you're talking about? 2 feet, 10 feet?
But I can't. I don't know. It could have just...
The deck, to have a reasonable deck or porch to sit on, I would like to try to do 9 to 10 feet, which would ask for less of a variance from the 11 feet to maybe an 8 or 9 foot variance from the rear back.
Other questions to the applicant?
Is there any public comment?
No.
No, obviously there's nobody here to speak either for or against. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, board discussion.
I'd like to live with 8 feet.
Yeah, I'd like to see it reduced as much as possible. It is going to set a precedent, even if that house that she showed may be on the corner, I'm not sure. It looked like a corner lot. Is that it to the right?
This is the house.
It's to the right. The house to the right?
Yes, it is on a corner lot.
Okay.
So they have a deck, and it looks like a enclosed, or maybe that's another deck.
So Jack, off the bat, the porch section seems to be on the street side.
Yeah.
But underneath the roof line. Mm-hmm.
That's weird. Other discussion from the board? I guess we might have two different ways of going about this. We could either not approve this application, or we could suggest the applicant make a ask for a continuance and come back and support a reduced size that may be more palatable. I think it ought to be combined with perhaps a little bit more investigation with regard to other properties in the general vicinity as to what they have done, as the applicant has said, encroached into the setbacks, so that we have a better understanding of the area. So, and I guess the other alternative is to disapprove staff's recommendation and approve. So I'll entertain a motion.
Well, I think there's another alternative, and that is to approve a lesser amount.
Well, I'd like to hear a little more information, frankly, but that's, you are correct, Mr. Blackman. So I'll entertain a motion. I'm not sure, help me with this. Do we need a motion to ask for continuance, or is that just a strong application, advice to the applicant as to what they may wish to do?
You could do either. The board can recommend, can a motion can be made for a continuance, and the board can vote on that, or the petitioner can request it, and the board can vote on that.
And I know Mr. Blackburn has very specific words with regard to continuances, so would you please restate that just for our advocate, or for my advocation?
That we continue the public hearing.
Okay.
And that way it doesn't have to be re-advertised.
Okay. So I'll entertain a motion from the board.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, if the board would like, you can add any specific information that you would like brought back, either from the petitioner or from staff.
Well, my suggestion for the motion is that we understand what other encroachments have been in the general vicinity, and then a suggestion as to what the encroachment would be on a reduced covered porch. Well, it needs to be more detailed than that.
Suggesting that the variance will only be 8 feet, and if it's feasible to build it with that.
Okay, well, I think that's the option.
Just for information.
They want to come back with. So, Matt, a motion of some sort? Don't all speak at once?
Yeah, really.
Yes.
You look like you have a burning desire there.
No, sir, but I'm in support of your suggestion. So,
all right, would you?
Your motion as previously stated.
Okay.
So moved.
That's fine.
Do I need to restate that at all for clarity?
I'll second it and restate it. How about that?
Oh, that's wonderful.
We move to continue the public hearing until next month and ask that the applicant give us some other alternatives.
Which includes understanding what other variances have been granted.
All right, so you got a motion.
All right, we have a motion. Is that clear, Mr. Secretary?
It's clear enough.
Clear enough. All right.
We'll
have it clear for record purposes.
Now, who made the motion? Was it Blackburn or Blackburn?
Let's. I don't care.
Mr. Krupps made the motion, and Mr. Blackburn seconded it.
Okay, I think that's appropriate. All in favor or against, please vote. Motion passes unanimously. I do not know of any other business of the board.
I do have one thing that I think we need to pay attention to, and our secretary here needs to pay attention to this as well. The reason our decision was overturned on the Roach Avenue property was because the minutes of our meeting say nothing. All they say is who voted, and that is not sufficient for a semi-judicial body. We need to have in the minutes who appeared. Maybe some slight comment about what they said, and some of the discussion of the board. Without that, the minutes are nothing but a recitation of what the petition was and who voted how. And that was what partly the court criticized, and why they basically said there was no record setting for why we made the decision. And when you don't include people who appear or any board discussion in the minutes, it makes them really inadequate. And that's something we need to sort of push about. And it does put a lot more burden on the staff to keep up with who's appeared and that sort of thing. But at least we can say that somebody appeared for it and somebody appeared against it. And that they said that this encroachment would hurt the neighborhood or something like that. They don't have to be verbatim minutes, but just generally stated that five people appeared against it, and they, one of them said this, one of them said that, and to show that the board actually heard something and considered something.
Well, we did, if I may, have an exchange recently with the chairman, and he agreed with Mr. Blackburn's assessment. So I think we're prepared going forward to, you know, put some more meat on the bone, if you will, in terms of the minutes. So I think we're on the same page.
All right. Well, this was discussed as well at the previous MPC meeting. And I think Mr. Blackburn brought that up and got a little bit of
resistance
would be the format. What I'd like to ask, with your permission, Mr. Blackburn, is that you consider the effort in order to do what is being requested, and if it doesn't include additional stamp time or whatever, and report back, and let's make that an agenda item for our next meeting.
Okay.
to discuss a little bit about not the vision, because I think Ms. Blackman is correct, but I'm talking more about the tactics mm-hmm. of how this could occur. And if it seems like it's an issue that can be done if we have a good, I won't call it Madam Secretary, Mr. Secretary, which I think we do, but give us a little feedback.
Okay.
I think it's a great idea, but mm-hmm. I'm interested in what the tactics may be as well.
Yes, sir.
Are these proceedings taped?
They are, yes, sir.
I mean, isn't that the best and highest record?
But I don't think anybody ever adopts the tape. They just adopt the minutes.
Well, that may be one of the tactics that you use in your thinking of mm-hmm. coming back to us as to how to accomplish not getting something overturned that we wish not to be overturned. This is, What are the other things that can be added to it?
It seems to me that if a matter goes up on appeal to the Superior Court, that tape can be transcribed.
Right.
And that could be the appeal.
Or the tape could be provided.
Or the tape could be provided for.
And that didn't occur in the example of the last time.
Perhaps we need to adopt the tape.
But let's come back with a genuine proposal about how do we overcome this problem in the mm-hmm. future, whether it's through written word or audio word or whatever, so that we're in the right format. And let's just use that. Let's make that as an agenda item and let her come back and make a presentation about how that could be done, and let the board members understand whatever is the right legislative.
At this time, are the tapes kept?
Are they what?
Are they kept?
Yes, they are.
I think they're
Yeah, we have record of the tape.
They're recorded, and you can get them.
Yeah, they're posted on the website.
Yep.
Is that right? Yeah, they're posted on our website.
We have a disclaimer at the base of each minute that says, we provide meeting summary minutes, which are adopted by the respective board, verbatim transcripts of the responsibility of the interested party. Obviously, we are very interested.
Well, again, that's the reason why mm-hmm. maybe we need to have a kind of a tactical plan in place.
And there is a way to do summary minutes that at least say who appeared, whether they were for or against.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cliff notes.
All right. Any other business? We're adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Pardon? How many do we have on the agenda for next month?
Two so far, including this one that's continued.
Right. Okay.
I think there's maybe one or two more coming in.
Okay.
Adios.
So where are we going?
There may not be a lot. I think there's a way.
Well, I think if they do, basically, like you said, where you just listen. I had assumed, because I don't even read the minutes anymore, that they at least have, like, just.